I don't know if you noticed or not, but we've had so much cloudy weather lately. We've had so many times when we've had rainy weather through the night or through the day. And as a teacher, I sure notice it when we have the students indoor and how challenging that is, or when the grass or field are too wet. We've had soccer tournaments that have been postponed or canceled. We've had places where water goes that it shouldn't go. We've had students fall in puddles and all kinds of things like that. But I think it's a particular blessing just to stop for a minute and see the blessing of the sunshine coming in. And I think when we're driving around, when we're looking at the blessings of God, I think there's the ordinary ways that He shows His light, His brilliance, His leading, His presence that we never should take for granted. Yes, the sun rises, the sun sets, but what a blessing to feel the sunshine, or like I like to do sometimes, take the U out of there and put an O instead, His sun shining in His leading. We're going to ask for understanding as we pray and look to God's Word and as we look at what it might mean for us on this Thanksgiving Sunday. Let's come before Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word. Lord, Your Word that is so clearly a light to our path, a lamp to our path and a light to our feet. Lord, may Your Word fill us with thanksgiving. May it fill us with the wisdom that we are called to have. Lord, may we be reminded that it is Your Word and that the words of my mouth, the words of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable to You. Lord, add Your blessing to all that we say and do. Lord, we pray that You would be the one by Your Holy Spirit who gave Your Word thousands of years ago through many, many different people. May it be Your Spirit that guides us in learning it, in living it, in applying it, in being so thankful for it. Amen. I'm going to share three scripture readings this morning, and all of them have a time when thanks comes up in a special way. There really are a lot of awesome places in the Bible where there are times of thanks and thanksgiving. Some of them we've even shared already in our call to worship, in our words of assurance. Some of them we will hear in the message. And as we put these together, I pray that God would give us a spirit of understanding and discernment and looking at His Word. So first of all, we're going to begin with a familiar account in Luke 17 of the 10 lepers. Then we're going to go to Ephesians that combines looking at our time and living thankfully. And then one of Paul's favorite verses that comes up in many places too, but notably in Colossians 1, verse 3. So first of all, from Luke 17, verses 10 to 19, the word of the Lord. Now on His way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As He was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met Him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When He saw them, He said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he, that is Jesus, said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Then turning to Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 20. be very careful. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the one verse in Colossians, 1 verse 3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. The word of the Lord, and may God add his blessing to all who hear and read and apply it. Thanksgiving really is a key focus of all these verses. But I want to stop by taking a look at Thanksgiving for just a minute. It kind of sometimes seems to get lost as the summer gives way to fall and the last days of October, and then the early fall moves aside. But I think I was told by a seminary professor many, many years ago that we need to make sure that when we pray, we live a life of responding to God, of returning thanks, not just giving thanks, returning it to the source. I also heard someone say that we have just one day for Thanksgiving, but why can't it lead us into a time of thanks living? So Paul says many times that he thanks God every time he remembers the people in prayer. He says it 6 or 8 times. Sometimes in verse 3 or 4 of the books he writes, sometimes a little further on. But he says so clearly that he remembers them in prayer. I thank my God as I remember you in prayer. He has a God-directedness in the way he speaks of thanksgiving. In Ephesians 1, verse 15, it says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. But who is it that Paul speaks to first? Who hears Paul? Well, Paul first looks in thanks to God. He says in almost all of these verses, I thank my God as I remember you in prayer. And yes, it is a time to count our blessings, to count the many blessings God has given us. Count the blessings, but what we sometimes forget, at least I do, is sometimes we think Thanksgiving is just taking a look at the things we've been given, the things we have, the things of family or home or church. We are called to be thankful for these things, health and community, food and freedom. But Paul reminds us that thankfulness needs a direction. It needs a looking at the source. It needs a focus. It's not just given to avoid. Sometimes I wonder if people who don't have faith or don't know the Lord as their Savior, when they have a day like this, Thanksgiving Day, where do they direct their thanks? Do they direct it just to people around them? Or do they direct it to the good fortune that we have of the country we live in or the freedoms that we have? Because every good and perfect gift is from above, says God's word, we know its source. We should be living our lives as a response of thanksgiving to a Father who has created all, yes, but sent his Son to die for us, to offer us, to give us life and life abundantly. Ever since I heard of your faith and your love for all the saints, writes Paul, he doesn't stop thanking God for it. He also says clearly that faith comes by hearing. Well, we hear many voices around us, don't we? We hear the voices of the different needs that are here. And I think that very often when we hear these voices around, we need to be careful. We need to be careful because Paul, as he writes God's word for us, wants us to be wise and make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And yes, we know that, don't we? Sometimes I think we need to be reminded of verses like Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition for sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Similar theme comes up in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18. Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. In the verses we read in Ephesians 5, basically Paul says, don't be foolish. Don't look at ways to escape the evil around. We can easily get caught, can't we, in complaining. If you're with a group of people who complain, it's easy to add our complaints to it, or a judgmentalness, or a discouragement, or defeated, or a fearful attitude, doubts, being self-absorbed, or being thing-oriented. I find it so easy to get stuck in those kind of conversations, isn't it? But Paul tells us instead, sing in your hearts. In other words, live the thankful life you're called to. I visited with an older couple in Jarvis, just outside of Hagersville. Sometimes I worship there and help in preaching there regularly too. And as I was visiting an older couple, also celebrating their 88th birthday, the lady in the family, they were recounting some of the hardships they had in life. But they were also looking at the grace that was greater than it. And the lady of the house shared a story with me about 5 or 6 years ago when they were still living on their farm and they were just in the process of contemplating moving into a retirement home. She had been near the edge of her garden and had fallen down. She had a stroke. And it was early in the morning, and she, with tears in her eyes, has a testimony that she gives quite often that I'd like to share with you. And she said as she had a mild stroke and fell down, she realized the great challenge of her husband who was leaving from the edge of his, the other edge of the yard, you might say, where they had a barn, and he was pulling out, and the great difficulty is he always gets in the tractor on the passenger side, which, because it was pulling out of the barn, was on the opposite side of what she is. And then she thought, he's not going to be home until lunchtime. And here I am, because she didn't have the ability, she was thinking to get up. What's going to happen? And she still says that as she prayed and thought, how, Lord, how can I get up and get the help I needed? Because she knew something was wrong, seriously wrong. She said for the first time that she can ever recall, her husband got in on the opposite side, and he drove out the opposite side of the barn and happened to see her there. And she said, no, it wasn't just he happened to see me. God led him to me there. And she said that's a story that she wants to share quite often, just one of the many little ways that we can say, boy, wasn't that good fortune or good luck that he happened to go that way so he could help me get the help I needed, get to the hospital, get to a doctor. I think so often we have God's blessings in and around us too. You know, I really enjoy coming here to preach because I think every time I do, there's always a combination of a Christian song I've got that's playing, or whether it's seeing the light or the leaves. But every time I come here, I can look back and pray for those at home or in churches or in need there. But I can also think of the blessings that you have. It really becomes part of my worship time and worship experience, and I'm so thankful for it. It kind of draws me to Psalm 103, which we hear many times when we do our communion time. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your sins, heals your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion. But what about when we have nothing? What about when we look at what's around us and the circumstances we're in, and we find ourselves, perhaps in our own way, in a little bit of a situation like those 10 lepers? Let's walk with them for just a few minutes and see what happens to them and with them. The 10 lepers are living with a skin disease between Samaria and Galilee. They're likely a group of beggars holding on to each other and any alms, gifts, or food that they can get, probably just barely existing. They were required to stand at a distance and call out, "Unclean, unclean." And there they were, one who was a Samaritan and the rest perhaps from Galilee or other areas. But they had heard something. They had been given some news from some travelers that were ahead of another group that were coming. They had heard that a great teacher or healer was coming by. Maybe if they called out, maybe in their hope and their desperation, they'd get some food or some money. Or could they hope for more? They really called out for pity, and they called out loudly, says Scripture, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." So when we take a look at the word pity, they're looking for the compassion of Christ as he comes by, and they're not scared to shout for it because they likely have nothing else. And what kind of hope do they have? So Jesus does more than just see them. He knew who they were, he knew how they lived, and his compassion is called for. And I wonder if others around Jesus, because he was on his way to Jerusalem at this time, this is already in Luke chapter 17, he's on his way to Jerusalem, he stops, he hears, and he has a lesson for those 10, for that one, for the disciples, for the people who are with him. And he says just simply, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Well, the priests were the one in those days who could declare someone cleansed or healed or ready to go home. I guess that must have happened occasionally, but certainly not often. So they were told to go show themselves to the priests, but you have to realize something. When they were told that, they were not healed. You might say, well, why couldn't Jesus' words heal them? Jesus did say, "Go show yourselves to the priests," but when they were standing there, they still saw those spots on their bodies. So, what's going to happen? Somehow among themselves, they must have decided that they would go to the priests, and they had, through the words of Christ, a hope. They were not healed yet, but in trust and hope, they left to go. They left not being healed yet. They left to go to the priests, and they were healed on the way. I sometimes wonder if the message title should have been that instead. On the way. As they went, they were cleansed. And I wonder if we should see Thanksgiving as something for us being on the way as well. They saw it. We know the truth of being called to thank God first for all that we have, but sometimes our eyes just turn to other things. The holiday, the family, the gifts, the blessing we have, or what we don't have. But on the way, they saw it, and they knew they had healed bodies. Can you imagine them looking down and seeing those either those spots removed or something happened to their body? One noticing it, then another. So they all 10 were cleansed on the way. And I wondered if they started thinking and running all the quicker, wondering about how good it would be to see their homes, their families, whether they had wives and children or whether they had mothers and fathers that they were returning to, wondering about what work they would do. But as they're going, something happened. Something happened in the heart of one of them. This is a God thing. They all know they're cleansed. They all know they're healed. But one looks at not just what he has received. He looks not just at his body being cleansed and not just to what he can have when he goes forward, because I'm sure they were all thankful. But one stops and realizes the source of this. Maybe the words of who they had heard this man was, Jesus, Master. Maybe it was something greater even than that. It says in God's word here that now he himself, not with any of the others, he's been with this group the whole time, he leaves the 9. He goes by himself, and it says that in a loud voice, what is he doing? Is he saying, thank you, I'm healed? Is he saying thank you to Jesus? No, it's something different. It says in God's word here, he returns and in a loud voice, he's praising God. And isn't that really what Thanksgiving is about? We can look at all the things we have. Great. Count your many blessings, yes. But see what God has done. If every good and perfect gift is from God from above, then shouldn't our praise be to God? He returned with a loud voice praising God, and he throws himself at Jesus' feet and thanks him. But he praises God first, and then in humbleness before God, he comes, throws himself at Jesus' feet. He goes to Jesus. And it's interesting what Jesus says, because sometimes when we take a look at what Jesus says, sometimes we might say, well, isn't that kind of rough? Jesus, I think, is asking for the other disciple, or the disciples who are there, to hear it too. Weren't 10 cleansed? Weren't 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? The purpose for the healing that Jesus did, yes, he healed many, many people. He healed many people of different diseases and evil spirits, casting out evil spirits, driving out demons. So many healed of different things, but sometimes it makes me wonder how many of them were healed on the inside. Yes, there were some, right? Even if we read further around this passage, we can read about the persistent widow. We can read about different other people who were challenged by the word of God, and those who responded and were healed, but those also who became followers of Christ. Isn't it interesting that this man was a Samaritan? The most unlikely person, the disassociation, the estrangement from the Jews and the Gentiles, Jesus notes it. Weren't there 10 cleansed? There was a purpose for the health that was given. There's a purpose for what we get. Let's take a look and realize that what we get is so much beyond what we could ever deserve or earn. And our life is not lived trying to pay God back for what he's done. That can never be done. It's meant to make us return and give praise to God. Thanksgiving is meant to make us turn, to acknowledge, to come into a relationship with the giver. Have you ever thought about that? The purpose of the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of his word, the gift of what we see around us, the purpose of the gift is to turn to the giver. The giver not only as the source of all good gifts, but the giver of life and life abundantly. What we receive, what God gives, has a purpose. And then the question is, who will hear you? Yes, family, as we tell them, and as we thank God, and as we remember them in prayer. I plan on sharing that more often. You know, I'm praying for you, I'm remembering you in prayer. But first, let's thank God, let's praise God, let's return the thanks. Why? Because of the words that Jesus says at the end. Rise and go, your faith has made you well. We're offered healing and cleansing and renewal through Jesus Christ, but it's a faith response that God calls in us. It's living in faith, in hope and love, that makes us well. Rise and go, your faith has made you well. May the words of thanks that God shows us in so many places in Scripture be ones that become a part of who we are, how we live, what we share. Amen. Let's come before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we have so much to be thankful for. Lord, yes, we are people who should count our blessings. But Lord, help me and help us to come to you first and to say, Lord God, thank you for who you are, for what you have done in Jesus Christ, offering us salvation and life. Lord, help us to be people who share in testimony, even in the small ways that we see your healing and your work. Lord, help us to be an encouragement, a good listener. But help us, Lord, to speak of your grace and your leading. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that there's nothing that we can do that will ever help us to think we deserve your mercy. But help us to be people, Lord, who call out to you, who call out to you, Lord, asking for mercy and grace and leading. But Lord, help us to be people who live it as well. Help people to realize, Lord, that we see the source of our hope and our strength and our healing in you. Lord, we have the blessing of this Thanksgiving time, holiday time, family time, maybe special gatherings, maybe not. But Lord, may it be a time when people will hear our praise lived out to you. Thank you, Lord, for this Thanksgiving Sunday. Thank you, Lord, for everyone here. Thank you for the bounty of what you've given. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and all you have done. Praise be to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.